Hi, welcome to the Sci-Fi FX podcast. I think this is episode number 120, and you have me and Carl both here today.
Yep.
How's it going, Carl?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. There has been an explosion in the sci-fi world with all the new Doctor Who stuff and everything coming out. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep. We'll get more into the lost episodes in the next podcast we do.
Yeah, actually, I think we're going to do a couple of them on it. So yep. that ought to be a lot of fun. But what do you think of that new video that's come out, the 50th anniversary? I mean, I watched it a little while ago, and I see a lot of things in there that I was things that I'm not surprised to see, and then followed by sometimes things that I am surprised to see.
And we're talking about the Doctor Who 50th anniversary trailer the BBC just put out last night, and it is incredibly dense with references to both the new and the classic series in it, and it's quite a beautiful thing to look at, really, when you get down to it. It is available out on YouTube. We'll put a link to it in the show notes on the podcast, but they have it all the way up to a full 1080p version of it, and it's got
And it takes advantage of the 1080p.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And they do that fancy, you know, freeze frame, and then we're going to rotate around through the picture so you can see all the stuff suspended in the air and all that kind of stuff. And it's really well done, I thought.
So one of the parts that kind of stuck with me that I was kind of surprised to see, let's talk about the thing that didn't surprise me and the things that did then that followed it that did. So the first thing that really caught me off guard, because I had to watch it a couple times to catch everything, but the first thing that really didn't surprise me at all is when Sarah Jane showed up in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you figure that there's that no surprise there. But then when they back the camera out of that scene,
it's in the crystal ball. There we go. I couldn't think of the word.
And when they back it out, the new companion's there. What's her name?
Clara.
Claire.
But if you look real close, when they back it out and you see Clara there looking in the crystal ball, the reflection in the crystal ball is still Sarah Jane.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
No, I didn't even catch that.
You got to watch this thing like 5,000 times to catch everything that's in it. It's like I said, incredibly dense. I mean, they've got stuff in there. They've got all 11 doctors in there, for one thing. But they've got stuff from, I don't even know how many stories in there. They've got segments of the Key to Time flying around in the air. They've got the tracer device for the Key to Time. They've got like the Yeti recall device that's in the new episodes that were just discovered, or the old episodes that were just discovered. So that's a nice reference to that there, as you've got the little Yeti recall device. You've got, you know, the fifth doctor's glasses, the third doctor's key to the TARDIS, all kinds of stuff just flying around in this thing. It's amazing.
And like I said, it caught me off guard of just how much there was in there. Now, the one reference that I wasn't sure that I understand what it means, maybe you can help me get it, is that they talk about the Day of the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not really knowing a lot about it. To me, I kind of remember there being this, and here's what I'm thinking. This kind of reminds me of. It kind of reminds me that, you know, there's a limited number of regenerations that he has, and all that. Is the Day of the Doctor the day that he hits his last regeneration?
Well, the Day of the Doctor is the title of the 50th anniversary special. Beyond that, I don't really know anything of it, other than, you know, people think it may be a reference to in the last season. They reference the fall of the 11. So people think it may be a reference to that.
The fall of the 11. What is that?
Where they're talking about how the fall of the 11 at Trenzalore, which Trenzalore was the planet where the Doctor's tomb was on, where all the time travelers' tombs are on, apparently, for some weird reason. And, you know, Matt Smith being the 11th Doctor, people think it's going to reference the, you know, where he finally regenerates and becomes, well, the 12th Doctor, Peter Capaldi, or whatever the numbering scheme is going to be on that, because no one's really certain if Moffat's going to make John Hurt like a pseudo 9th Doctor between the 8th and in the ninth or what that's going to be, but I don't know.
Well, and they just they put so much into it of, you know, the day that I've been dreading all of my lives, plural me of lives there also, I did notice.
Yeah.
It just makes me wonder, you know, I mean, all of us dread, obviously, you know, our death. So I was wondering if maybe that's what they're going to deal with that somehow and somehow explain how it's going to continue after 11.
Well, it's, yeah, I mean, people have been saying that Moffat has a way out, and it's thought widely that he's going to address that in either the 50th anniversary special or the Christmas special this year as to how, you know, how they can get past having the 12 regenerations. So that's another one. We're going to have to wait a month to find out, basically. But
I hate the waiting. See, you shouldn't have pointed out the trailer to me, and then I wouldn't have had to wait.
There's nothing in this trailer that's actually from the 50th anniversary special. There's this just basically a celebration of 50 years of Doctor Who, essentially. So there's stuff in there from, like I said, tons and tons of stories. There's little things like on one of the shelves that goes by at the very beginning when it's the first Doctor there, and there's all those shelves full of cluttered items. There's like masks from the Clockwork Androids from the Girl in the Fireplace episode with the 10th Doctor. There's a mask from Hieronymus from the Mask of Mandragora, which was the 4th Doctor story. It's like hanging off the shelf there. There's a helmet from one of the robot Santas from the invasion of the Christmas invasion. Christmas special. There's all kinds of stuff just sitting around in there, and it just references tons of things. And
yeah, no, there's a ton in this thing. They
put in the pirate captain's robot parrot from the pirate planet in the Key to Time series. You know, there's so many things in there. I mean, there was even a little pyramid back on the workbench by the Yeti model. I don't know if that was a reference to the pyramid control device from the Yeti stories, or if that was a reference to the pyramids of Mars. It could be both. I mean, for all I know.
Yeah. And I'll have to watch it a few more times and see if I can pick out a few more things, but not knowing the history like you do, to me, a lot of those things don't have the same meaning, you know, without someone pointing them out and saying, hey, that's from this. And hey, that's from this. And, but even in the context of not having all that history, there's a tremendous amount of references in there that even I capture from just watching the new stuff.
Well, and you had tons of companions in there along with the doctors. You can see, like, Amy standing behind the ninth doctor. And as you mentioned, we had Sarah Jane Smith and Clara and K-9 and, you know, just a bunch of others in there. I didn't get a chance to see it yesterday. I watched it for the first time today. And I think I've watched it 7 or 8 times at this point. Kind of pausing it periodically as it goes through the video to look at everything that's on the screen so I can spot these things.
Well, some of the doctors go by so fast, you have to pause it just to have a chance of identifying some of them. Now, there's other ones, like, is it the 4th Doctor, the one where they actually show him and they rotate him around? And
yeah, where he's falling off the building thing there with
yeah.
All the jelly babies in the air, yeah.
Yeah.
And so humpteen sonic screwdrivers and the master's laser screwdrivers floating around in there, and there's all kinds of stuff. It's
yeah, and I kind of found that was another thing on it that kind of surprised me. You know, with all this talk of the magic sonic screwdriver and everything, how does the video end?
Yeah, with him pointing the magic sonic screwdriver up in the air.
Yeah, he just like grabs the screwdriver and points it up in the air, like, you know, hey, here's the, you know, the ultimate weapon, and boom, and I fix everything kind of scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping it doesn't come down to that.
Yeah, that actually kind of surprised me, because you wouldn't think that they would push it that that obviously, you know?
Yeah. But oh,
anyway.
there's one that there's an article on io9 that's a bunch of detail on the video that I've looked at, and one of the things that they mentioned in there that I missed was the there's a digital counter as it swings past the Ninth Doctor that says 1716-2311, and that's a reference to the original air date of the very first episode of Doctor Who. It aired at 5:16 p.m., which in military time is 1716-1716, on November 23rd, so 2311. I thought, that I didn't even notice that when it went flying by on the screen. So they must have gone through, frame by frame, basically looking for everything.
Yeah, I mean, or just considered that everything was something and nothing was put in there for no reason, and just start, okay, there's this number has to mean something. What does it mean? And you just
Oh,
start throwing it.
exactly, and I didn't even notice the number when it went by. I
Wow.
didn't even notice it was there. But yeah, I mean, I think everything in this video is pretty much a reference to something. There's nothing that's just there to be there. It all means something, at least in the context of, this was something particular in Doctor Who. It's I don't know that it has anything to do with the 50th anniversary special, but there's everything that's in there references something in Doctor Who. And it I wish it had been longer, but I can't imagine the amount of work they put into this thing.
Well, and that's what I was just thinking. I mean, if you've ever edited video, you know that it's like one of those tremendously slow processes where, we were just talking about this last night with some other podcasters and stuff that do some of the video, and they were saying, having the same problem where it's, you put in, several hours of recording pieces and snippets and stuff like that, but then in order to then in order to edit it down and make a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 minute video out of it, you end up spending another 10 hours or 12 hours or 15 hours just editing stuff before you can even get it to compile it into a nice looking thing. And then you still got to add all your transitions and stuff. So I can see on that particular video, the way they were doing those, the 3D rotations and the whole shebang, that a lot of those were just, they weren't only editing existing video, they were creating 3D representations of them and then editing them in together.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, it was. I'm sure all of it except for the bit there at the end with Matt Smith was all computer generated. It's all 3D models that they built, and they look amazing. Because I mean, they give you that nice slow close up shot of Hartnell that they did there at the beginning, and it looks phenomenal. And I have no idea how long they spent rendering, these characters, because they look photorealistic, I mean, down to the last wrinkle.
Well, and it makes you wonder where are those completely? Is it the whole thing CGI'd? And because even the scene at the very end with Matthew Smith, I mean, he's standing on
Oh yeah,
in a place that he
on a
couldn't
green
possibly be
screen.
standing.
Yeah,
So
he's got to
yeah.
be on a green screen basically, but that's him at the end. I think he is the only thing in the video that wasn't fully CG.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think that's exactly it. He is the only thing in that whole scene that isn't CG. No, there's a lot to it. It's one of those we'll have to watch a few more times, and then we truly won't even really know the meaning of it until the new episode comes out,
If it has
if
any at
that
all.
even has any meaning. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just a hey, look at what we did. This is cool, kind of thing.
Yeah, we had some time, and between restoring all these videos and creating all these new shows and doing all this, we just had some extra time and decided to create this cool video. Here, take a look.
It's all part of the hype machine, all part of the hype machine.
Yeah. Well, tell me that wouldn't be a cool job, though. I
Oh
mean,
yeah.
imagine your job is, hey, take all the snippets of all the years and build us a 60-second,
Video and include as much stuff in it as you can.
I mean, put every single doctor, all the, I mean, everything. Put it all in there. I want it all. In 60 seconds? Yeah, in 60 seconds.
Do
Maybe it was even, make it up and do it in 120 seconds. And he says, in 120 seconds? He says, no, change it. Make it 60 seconds. Cram it in tight, because it is. It's crammed in very tight.
Yeah.
But,
All right, but we got other stuff to talk about. We talked longer about
the. Well, we could talk all about this one all day long if you want. I don't care.
Yeah, but we've talked longer about it than it takes to watch it. So.
Consider. No, because after you watch it 10 or 20 times, then it takes 10 or 20 minutes. So.
Yeah.
But we've actually talked about that long. So let's talk about some of the new stuff that's coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the, said you were watching that Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, right? Kind of sort of watching it.
Yeah, well, no, and I sat down in full expectations of it being, another Once Upon a Time. And even though, we'll get into where Once Upon a Time is a little bit later, but let's just say that it's not been as strong this season as it was in the past seasons. But we'll get into that here a little bit later, because I want to talk about that too. But And this is something that I don't really pay that much attention to because it don't really normally have that huge of an impact on shows. But the choreographing in this thing is so bad. And I've never really given much credence to it, pretending to fight or pretending to sword fight or something like that. I've always known it was difficult, from your Hercules style shows and those kind of things, that kind of stuff. You don't really. But they always do a
passable job.
Yeah, a passable job where you're like, well, I'm not sure they could really jump that high, or I'm not really sure they could swing it like that, or I'm not sure that they could, really jump over it like that or jump under it like that. This one, it really looks like a fifth grader play. And you laugh and you think I'm joking, but
I believe you. I believe you.
And I don't understand why, because it's Alice in Wonderland in Wonderland. So, Alice in Wonderland in Wonderland. It's Alice in Wonderland. So, it's Wonderland in the first place. So it's all, CGI generated and all that crapple in the first place. So you don't really have a whole lot there that you're expecting to look totally realistic, but the special effects and the scenery and that kind of stuff, it's actually pretty good.
So they spent the whole budget on that and couldn't hire a decent choreographer?
and the sad part is that it blows my mind when I go back. And when I got done with the first episode, the choreographing was so bad that I said, let's go back and watch that first
the first
fight again, because I just can't imagine that it was as bad as I remembered it being, because how sometimes you watch something and it kind of catches you off guard and you're like, wow, this is so visually gorgeous and all of that. And then that really that, and me, I have a really hard time not liking most stuff that I watch. I mean, I'm pretty forgiving when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this one, it was just horrible. And then on top of that, I don't think the storyline is strong enough. And at first I thought, oh, this is just an introduction episode and they're going to get into, a little bit of, it kind of starts off with, as the fairy tale starts off, Alice follows the rabbit into the hole.
Yeah.
But then, the next scene is, and hopefully, I'm not going to spoil it for anyone, but I'm you're listening to a radio show about the show. You probably wanted to either hear something about the first episode at least.
Yeah.
But, she comes back and she's basically just accused of being crazy and they lock her up.
Well, yeah.
Since when does a kid's story about what I did and get you locked up?
Well, it didn't since Hollow.
What's her name? And that I was going to point that out later. You're supposed to save that for later.
Well, you asked, when does it happen? So a few weeks ago on Sleepy Hollow.
It seems to be a trend. All of a sudden, someone says, hey, I saw an imaginary. I'm glad I didn't tell anybody but my parents when I was a kid that I had an imaginary friend, because yeah. Hell, for all I know, and I could have ended up locked up.
Yeah, nowadays they're throwing an insane asylum.
Yeah. And yeah, okay. So let's get this straight. She disappears for a couple of days. She claims she follows a rabbit into a hole. They give her no explanation or no chance to explain or to believe her whatsoever. They accuse her of being crazy.
They test they her for lock drugs her up. To see if maybe she ate some bad mushrooms or something while she was out in the woods, or...
No, she definitely did while she was there, but, you know, they didn't test her for any of that stuff. They lock her up, and then she gets out, and in order to prove to them that she's done it,
she goes
back.
Yep. Wow.
So,
and I haven't actually seen this one yet, and I'm kind of far behind on Once Upon a Time, but as I recall, the choreography in Once Upon a Time was fairly decent. I mean,
yeah, it is.
You know, when people fought, it was believable.
Yeah,
it was believable.
I mean, most of the time in Once Upon a Time, I mean, it's just somebody reaching into someone else's heart and pulling their heart out, but
swinging a sword, no, something like that. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you get in the fight, you know, if Hook gets in a fight, or if, you know,
Red
Captain Gold decides to swing his cane at something, or something along those natures, it looks, I mean, like, take for example, you know, when Captain Gold swings his cane in his thing and he breaks all that glass and stuff, it looked real. I mean, it looked like he really broke all the glass. For all we know, he probably did.
Yeah, that was probably a practical effect. I'm sure they had sugar glass there and he, you know, broke it, but yeah, I mean, there have been several, and the ones that I saw anyway, the first season and a half or so, there were lots of, you know, like sword fights when they would flash back to when they were in Fairy Tale Land, whatever they want to call it, you know, with like Prince Charming fighting the dragon and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and it looked believable.
Well, they do not have the same people working on the two shows, and you know me, I am really bad about actors and knowing people's names. I've gotten somewhat better over the last couple of years, thanks to you and all the guys and everything. But I just don't pay attention to that stuff most of the time. For me, it's all about the content itself and the imaginary world that it creates. I don't care about the real world around it, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's changing more and more as time goes by. But in this particular case, it's the imaginary world isn't even believable. And it's Wonderland, so it's not supposed to be.
Well, yeah, but they're going to have people fighting. It should look like they're actually fighting.
So, needless to say, she goes there. She eats something and shrinks down, eats one of the food, which obviously shrinks her back down to, you know, a little bitty thing. She finds the... she hides actually inside of the, what is it called? The genie's bottle.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And, you know, she releases the genie. They fall in love. He gives her her wishes. She refuses to use them because as soon as she uses them, he goes away and waits for someone else to find him. So she never uses them. She keeps them forever. Well, forever so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're in love, blah, blah, blah. He's being hunted down by, you know, the evil,
queen.
Well, what was that we said when, what was that show that started, when it started off, we said it was a shame that the evil somebody wasn't really evil.
I'm drawing a blank.
Well, the evil queen really wants to be evil,
mm-hmm.
but she's in cahoots with another genie who's trying to catch up with this genie with what is his name? He's famous. God, I wish I knew all the characters' names. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't, like I said, I hadn't seen it. So.
The bad guy in Alice in Wonderland. There's the evil queen and then there's him. Well, they're kind of joined at the hips, and of course he's pushing her around like it's nothing. And so they got this pissing match going back and forth between the two of them, you know, who's in charge, and, you know, it just,
mm-hmm.
it got completely out of control. You know, it was kind of like, why is he pushing her around like that? Why is she so afraid of him? And, you know, she keeps getting leverage on him and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It just, the whole story seems weak. And I don't know if it's that they tried to build some big elaborate storyline behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
right off the bat, you know, so that they end up with like a Once Upon a Time that has, you know, 7-8 different storylines all going on at once.
Yeah.
Or they're just being sloppy. And, you know, I can't tell you. All I know is at this point, the choreographing is so bad The storyline is very weak. The queen, although, you know, if the volume's turned down, she's okay, nice to look at. She's not, she doesn't, you don't feel that she actually really has the evil.
Yeah.
This inner. I mean, this is Wonderland. I mean, from Once Upon a Time, Wonderland was supposed to be, you know, Kara's mother. And the way she ran it. Or Kara, was it Kara?
I think you're farther into the storyline than I had been. Because they had just started talking about Wonderland when I got behind on it, and I haven't got caught up yet.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't get into that then. I won't ruin that for you. But so I don't know. I'm totally disappointed, and not that I really had high expectations anyway. And to be honest with you, it's really not my kind of story. But it's one of those I can watch with my wife, so mm-hmm. I take the time to do it. But I think both of us were just a little put off by the fact that it was just so many elements wrong with it that it's just. And it's on the chopping block to be canceled already.
That's what I heard, that they're looking to drop it already. I think they were just hoping to ride on the success of Once Upon a Time because it's, you know, was such a huge success for ABC, and they were just hoping to, you know, kind of ride along on the coattails of it. Because initially, when I heard of this, I thought that Once Upon a Time was being canceled and that this was going to replace it, not run concurrently with it. But apparently that's not the case.
No, and then, you know, and then if we want to even scatter into that point at this point, I mean, we can do kind of an update on Once Upon a Time, too. But that's kind of another story all in itself. But anyway, let's move on to the other new stuff.
All right.
There's more new stuff in the thing, because this one's kind of a disappointment at this point. I'll keep watching it, and I'll keep everybody up to date, but I just don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be a hit. I think it's going to get canceled well before it gets, if they haven't, whatever they've got recorded, I think when it gets canceled, they're going to cancel everything going forward. They're not going to give it an end. They're not going to give it a chance to finish.
Yeah.
It's going to end that harshly. And it's a shame because the way Once Upon a Time was done, if it was well done, it could be, but then again, maybe, you know, maybe it's just too hard to make it that right when it's, you know, all make believe like this. Who knows?
Yep.
All right, moving on. So there is another new show out there called, is it Tomorrow People? Is that the right name of it?
Yeah, well, it's The Tomorrow People, and it's it's the second remake of a classic British sci-fi series that was on back in the 70s. That the CW has basically redone for American audiences and updated it to current times. The original one was originally created for ITV in England back and ran from 73 to 79. And then they did a reimagined version of it in 1992 for Thames Television and Nickelodeon. Here in the U.S., they were kind of hoping to do a multinational syndication with it, and that one only ran for like a year. So this is like the third incarnation of it. Also, Big Finish did like five audio seasons of it as well, the people that do all the Doctor Who audio stories. I have seen a couple of episodes of both the original series and the 92 reimagining of it, so I'm not really familiar with the history, you know, backstory of the original version of it and everything.
Sometimes that's a plus, though.
Yeah. And, you know, there's only been two episodes out so far on CW, and I've watched them both. And I'm kind of enjoying it. I don't see any major issues with it right now. It's your typical CW. There's a lot of, you know, interpersonal drama between the characters and that kind of stuff. But, you know, once you get past that, the actual basic premise of it's a pretty interesting little series, basically, and it follows these people that are referred to as the Tomorrow People, that are mutations of humans that have that have what they call the three T's. They can all do telepathy, teleportation, and telekinesis.
So my understanding of it is that they're actually the next evolution. They're a natural evolution. There wasn't any mistake or accident or anything like that. Is that right?
Exactly. They are the next phase of human evolution, basically. And so far, it's them versus this government organization known as Ultra, which is trying to protect the human populace from the clear and present danger of being wiped out by a new superior species. And they're
trying to fight evolution.
Yeah, and basically what it is they seem human at first. They're born to normal people. It's just a genetic abnormality, basically. And then once they hit basically puberty, their late teens, it starts to manifest itself. And that's where it starts off, is with the main character. Everyone thinks he's sleepwalking and a little crazy. But what's happening is he's teleporting in his sleep, unbeknownst to him, and ending up in like his neighbor's house in the middle of the night. But people they're thinking, oh, well, he must be sleepwalking. So they've got him on all these meds and he's going to see a psychiatrist and all this stuff. And it turns out that no, he's just one of these tomorrow people. And apparently his dad had left them, left him and his brother and his mom back when he was a little kid. And, just walked out on him, basically, is all he knew. And they thought that he had, they'd heard reports that he had died after that. And turns out he didn't actually die at that point, that he was another tomorrow person, however you want to phrase it, another mutant, basically. And he had left to protect his family from the people that were trying to track him down, and had basically become the leader of the tomorrow people. But then he vanished at some point from that, and they think that Ultra either has him prisoner or has killed him, and they're trying to figure out a way to find him and get him back. So it's there's a lot of intrigue, there's a lot of gadgetry and stuff like that. And it's my understanding in the original series, looking on the wiki page for it, that not only was the government, was there this government agency that was basically after them, but they also had like an involvement with aliens that were trying to basically use these up-and-coming telepaths and stuff for their own advantage and things like that, and use and abuse the Tomorrow People. And there was some
Shadow Wars.
Basically, and there was some Galactic Federation that they were involved with that tries to help out burgeoning new telepathic species and stuff like that. So there was a lot of alien involvement and things like that. I doubt that will actually surface in the CW series. They'll probably keep it contained to the humans versus Tomorrow People aspect of it. It's got
it seems like if they do pull in those, that it's going to be, it's desperate act to save it several years down the road, not something they need at this point, because it sounds like there's enough to it right now without involving the rest of it.
It's got a sort of kind of X-Men kind of feel to it, because in X-Men it's always the mutants and the government and all these organizations are trying to get rid of the mutants because they're a threat to the humans and all this stuff. So it's a very similar kind of feel to that.
That was kind of the idea I got when you mentioned it originally, described it.
And the acting's been good with it. Like I said, there's only been two episodes. The stories have been fairly decent so far. The special effects are great. I love the effect they use when they teleport, it's kind of hard to describe. So you kind of got to see it to see it, but, it's a nice effect, and, they haven't done a whole lot with they do a lot with the telepathy, because they can all talk to each other back and forth like that. And they've done a little bit with the telekinesis, and the main character, what's his name? It's Steven, who's the son of the guy who was their, apparently the most powerful one of the Tomorrow People and was their leader.
I guess they're contributing that to the fact that he's second generation.
Yeah, exactly. And apparently he has the ability to stop time to a certain extent. At least in a localized field anyway. So he's got a fourth T.
So as he teleport, telepathic
and
abilities. What's the other T?
Telekinesis.
Oh, telekinesis.
Yeah.
This is a weird combination, but it makes them some freaking powerful people though.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I can talk without you hearing me. I can move around without you seeing me, and I can move crap without touching it. I mean, what more could you ask for? Well,
the ability to stop time. And that's what this other guy has. So, that That's a pretty potent combination when it comes down to superpowers, when you get right down to it. But obviously they're not bulletproof. They, they can be killed by normal means. And apparently part of the genetic mutation that gives them these abilities also makes it and also makes them incapable of killing. They have like basically migraines and seizures if they try to consciously take a life.
Huh. And I wonder why that is. I wonder if that was to. I'm going to use this word a couple of times just because of its use in Sleepy Hollow. I wonder if that was a means of emancipating them and just kind of cutting off their abilities and giving them a little bit of a weakness.
Yeah, well, I mean, from what I've read in the original series, they used like stun guns and things like that, to not kill anybody. And it makes a certain kind of sense because it does give them a limitation. They can't use telekinesis to just like crush someone's throat or, punch their heart out or something like that. So it does limit their abilities, and it means that they have to think their way out of stuff more than just bashing their way around and, killing people to get out of situations.
Yeah, but it kind of goes against the forces of evolution, and
Yeah.
it's kind of hard to be the stronger force when you have a built-in inability to kill your predecessors when they come hunting you.
Exactly. And they haven't really gotten into it that much in the show. They can't kill people. I don't know if if they have the same problem if they go to like kill a cow or a pig or, a dog or a horse or anything like that, or if it's just specifically limited to bipedal humanoids.
Yeah.
They make the distinction quite often in the two episodes they've had so far that as far as the humans are concerned, they are not, the Tomorrow People are not human. So they don't have
Well,
human rights as far as the government is concerned.
they're not humans. They have no. Well, see it out. I'm just not sure I could see it going that way if it really happened, you know?
No, this is an extremist view of it.
Yeah.
I don't
I mean, I could see it getting there eventually, like it did with the X-Men, but I can't imagine it going there just right off the bat. I'm sorry, you have a few abnormalities with your DNA, and you're not human anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have no rights, which is just the opposite of the way the world really is today. It's, defend and protect everyone, and those who have handicaps get double the protection.
That's true, but then when you also think about it, these people have the ability to break into Fort Knox.
It's true.
And or,
Yeah, but I don't know.
release some sort of catastrophic strain of some virus that could wipe out all life on the planet. So, I mean, from one aspect, yes, you're right. They are still basically human. They just have a slight genetic mutation. But from Ultra's aspect, the organization that's hunting them down, they are a clear and present danger to humanity.
Yeah, but to take away, and I guess I have to see it to really understand. But I mean, to take away someone's human rights because
Well,
they're dangerous.
I agree with you on that. I'm just saying, if you look at it from both aspects, it does kind of make a sense from the one side. They're terrified that these new people are going to wipe out the regular humans. And
Well, but as at the same time, if you understand evolution, I mean, you don't have a choice. They're going to wipe us out anyway. Everyone is going to end up being them. You can't stop evolution.
eventually, yeah, I think they're more worried about it being more immediate.
Yeah.
Because yeah,
And then if that's the case, then it should just be a matter of hunt them down and kill them at all cost, and that way we at least slow down the process and prevent the second generation of them. But they won't do that neither. It'll be some half measure in the middle who is, hunt them down and keep them locked up so that we can fight them over and over and over and over.
Well, basically, from what they've shown in the first two episodes, they do have a way of basically immunizing them and removing their ability. So they can give them a shot and make them normal. And they basically Ultra offers them three options. They can either work for Ultra to help them track down more Tomorrow People. They can give them the injection and make them human. But if they've already shown negative actions, like in the second episode that aired where this kid was robbing banks and stuff like that, Then they put them down, basically. So those are the three steps: work for us, we cure you, or we kill you. And those are the options they give them. And from the looks of it, the primary option is we kill you unless you offer us something better. Yeah. So
Yeah.
it's a very brutal way of going about it. And like I said, like you said, I don't think that that's how it would re I would hope that that's not how it would really happen if something like this were to start taking place. But you never know. That's kind of the
No.
coaches on that is, this is how it could go down.
Well, yeah. I mean, I could always see a certain level of people freaking out and everything, but it just I object to things when I see that, now if this is just an exclusive little group saying, hey, we're going to treat you like this and we're not going to give you rights and we're not going to treat you like your home, and that I don't have a problem with. I have a problem with, if an X-Men movie came out tomorrow and they just decided, oh, look, we found one mutant. Okay, they don't have rights. They're not real people.
Well, yeah.
That kind of falls into more and more a larger percentage of the population every day.
I've, so far, it's been interesting. Like I said, it's got good production values and decent writing. So I'm gonna definitely give it a few more episodes and see how it carries out.
No, I'll actually pick it up too and start watching it. I mean, I'm always up for a good end of the world kind of scenario type story, which this sounds like it could definitely be that. So, or it could lead to a huge battle at some point, maybe if the series goes on and doesn't drag too slowly. But based on the fact that it's going to take generations for it to happen, there could be some good storytelling going on in the middle.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. Now, apparently, the original one back in the 70s, it ran for 6 years. So that's a good basis to work off of. So hopefully, this one will go at least a little while if it stays strong.
Yeah. Well, let's go back and unless you've got more on that.
No, that's pretty much it. There's only been two episodes, so there's not a whole lot to go over on the new one anyway.
So let's go back and revisit a few that we've talked about before and see what our feelings are now. 'Cause as new shows come out, you've seen a couple episodes of that. I've seen a couple episodes of Alice in Wonderland, but now,
You get an initial feel for it. Now that
yeah.
it's been on for 4 or 5 or 6 weeks, you can get a little better sense of it.
So let me ask you, are you still watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, actually, I just watched. I've had a really busy week, so I actually watched the latest episode today, because I knew we were going to talk about it. Plus, I wanted to see it. But yeah, I'm current on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and so far I'm liking it. I haven't had any real problems with it at all. I know, meetup last night, there was some dissension as far as whether it was good or some people said it was getting better.
Yeah, and that's kind of the gist of what I'm feeling too, is that it kind of started a little slow, it started a little cliche, and it was so-so, but at the same time, now I'm beginning to see where those slow threads that they put in place are starting to add up, with the exception of
Coulson.
No, well, Coulson has that underlying thread of, I don't think he's really human. I think he's a robot or some kind of character that I'm from that universe that I don't know. I don't know who it would be, but someone who,
I imagine they'll drag that out at least a season or two.
yeah, and they point it out almost every single episode, so I can't imagine they drag it out too long because, I mean, even this last episode, they. She's like, well, he's changed. He's different.
What
What's
they
different about him? And the other guy's like, huh?
Yeah,
Oh,
yeah.
never mind.
I liked that episode though, the one with the ocular implant with the X-ray vision eyes or
Yeah.
sonar, whatever it was, but I guess it would have been X-ray. I thought that one was a really good episode.
I think each episode has gotten a little bit better and has built the web a little stronger and made the show a little better. I think the writing has gotten better. I think the characters have gotten stronger, with one exception, and I'm a little disappointed in when they pulled Sky in originally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's the hacker that, you know, you've seen in all the previews, for those that aren't watching, you know, in the previews, she's the hacker that's, you know, I'm from the underground and I'm going to do this and nothing's going to stop me and you can't stop me. And then the doors slide open and Coulson's standing there. She's like, hey, guys. But, you know, they hunt down this world-class hacker that's been able to, you know, as she puts it, quote, hack into S.H.I.E.L.D. with a laptop she won in a bet in a poker game.
Yeah. Using Wi-Fi from the restaurant parked in the alley.
Correct. And then today, it's been four or five episodes?
Four.
And who's the only one that's done any hacking?
She's...
The twins. The Bopsy twins.
She's done a lot of hacking. Most of it she does on her phone just by tracking stuff down on, like, Facebook and things, but...
Yeah. And so I'm a little disappointed in the fact that they've got this character there that gives them supposedly this really strong ability to get into other people's computers and figure out what's going on and learn who's what and da 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 da. And then the only time they use it is when the Bopsy twins can't figure out something. She's like, well, pass it over to me. I got an encryption algorithm that can figure it out myself.
Yeah. Why didn't we just start with that? Yeah.
Yeah. Why wasn't she the one doing it in the first place? I mean, if she's the one that's a hacker, why isn't she the one who's hacking into their computer instead of getting the Bopsy twins to do it?
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, most of the hacking she's done has really just been looking up stuff on her cell phone.
Yeah. I mean, she helped him get in a meeting at a...
The invite into that, yeah, that, that party thing.
That dinner party thing, yeah. But that's not, you know, using any of her skills or demonstrating any of it or showing any of it. She's obviously, you know, double agenting things at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Seen her say she was in to be a traitor at the very beginning. Screeners for next week got her obviously being thrown out, which I don't think they're real.
Well, no.
I think they're a setup for
her
playing the role of something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's... If that was actually going to happen in the episode where they arrested her for being a real traitor, they wouldn't have shown that in the trailer.
Yeah. Exactly. But, that said... It really has. Now, if they can just deal with her, in my mind, come up with some real role for her to feel,
mm-hmm.
you know, as truly helping them. I mean, they keep saying, oh, how she's not field trained and field trained and field. She's not supposed to be field trained. She's supposed to be hacking.
Yeah.
Leave her on the ship with the Bopsy twins and let them hack into things and get you what you need.
Yeah.
Bopsy twins. That's the only way I can think of them because Fitz and Simmons.
Yeah. Fitz and Simmons.
Yeah. That's it. Fitz and Simmons. So, yeah. But. So you agree that it's gotten better or. What do you think?
I mean, I'd never thought that it was a weak show. I liked it from the very beginning, but I do think that the episodes have gotten progressively better as they've gone on. Which that's what you want to see from too. That's what you want to see from a series, though. You don't want to see the pilot be this super cool, awesome thing, and then the rest of it just be eh. You know, you want it to build and get better as it goes along.
Right, and at the same time, it's like you said, you don't want it to start off being perfect, but you don't want it to build so slow that it becomes a Stargate universe or
the new V
or something of that nature. Yeah, the new V. That's even a better example of slow.
That was so slow. So slow as we discussed.
I can't even watch it on DVD in fast motion.
That one's so slow as we discussed last night. Some people don't even realize it's been canceled.
Yeah. They're still waiting for the next episode. It's been over for 2 years. And they haven't realized anything's wrong yet.
Well, yeah, because they haven't missed it. It's just
that slow. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, yeah, I'm enjoying it, and I'm in for the ride at this point. They'd have to do something really, really bad for me to not want to watch it.
Yeah. Well, and especially with, there's supposed to be some, you know, side effects of all the different, you know, shows and stuff. So especially with Thor coming out next month,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be some impact on the show itself, I would suspect, because they've said that there will be crossover effects.
Oh yeah, well, and they actually had Samuel L. Jackson in the stinger bit on the end of the second episode. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the first end of the first, wasn't it? After he destroyed his ship.
No, no, no.
It's like 6 hours. You've had the ship for 6 hours, and you return a bucket of junk.
That was after the second episode where they went down and investigated that artifact that was in the temple.
Oh yeah, you're right. Okay.
The Peruvian cops or whatever they were got on the plane and yeah,
I guess they had got the new plane at the beginning of that episode, because I remember he was mad because he had only had the plane for a few hours. I don't know if it was six, but it was something of that nature.
But it was, yeah, I mean, I was surprised to actually see him there on set. I figured that they would have Samuel Jackson appear in some of the episodes, but I figured it would be like a video feed. You know, so it's something they could just record in like 5 or 10 minutes while they were filming one of the movies and just tack it into the series. But no, they actually had him there, full costume and makeup and everything on, you know, with the other actors performing a scene.
Yeah.
And it's my understanding that every episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to have that little trailing scene at the very end of it, just like the Marvel movies do.
I hope so. Cause you know, I've grown to like it, you know? Mm-hmm. I've heard from some of the spoilers that the new S.H.I.E.L.D. movie, jeez Louise, the new Thor movie is going to have two endings, so don't leave after the first one.
Yes. Well, I never leave after a Marvel movie until the lights come.
Till the lights come on, yeah. Yeah. So, all right.
And what about
moving on?
Our other new favorite one that's come out lately.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think Sleepy Hollow, as with S.H.I.E.L.D., it started off a lot better than S.H.I.E.L.D., but I think it's gotten better every episode too.
I think it's gotten pretty good. Yeah, it's I don't know that I would say it's gotten better. I think it's maintained really well.
Well, it's maintained or gotten, I think, well, maybe what I'm saying is, maybe you're right. Maybe it's maintained, but the characters have gained so much depth, yeah, that it brings a lot more to the stories.
They're doing good on the character development part of it. And next week's episode, that's actually not now, in 3 weeks when it comes back in November, because apparently they're taking a little hiatus for some reason because it's Sleepy Hollow and they didn't want it on at Halloween, which I don't understand.
Hello?
That would be the prime. I would think they'd want to do like a 2-hour special on Halloween night with it or something.
I would think at that point they'd have about 6 episodes. I'd run a 6-hour marathon up to it or something.
Yeah, yeah, but that's not how networks think for some reason. So it's not going to be back until November 4th. But they're going to... going to be another one centered around the headless horseman, or the death character. So that one should be particularly good, I think. It seems to be one of those things that it'll be more interesting whenever the headless horseman is there. And I think that's kind of what I've been waiting to happen, is for him to show up. Yeah, because these other stories are interesting and all, and it's building on it. But I want to see more with him.
Yeah, but he doesn't come until... He doesn't come. He can't be released on... Is it he can't be released, or whoever's following him can't be released until...
Yeah, it's kind of vague on that. But yeah, he's going to be back in the next one. So apparently he's still roaming around out there somewhere.
So there's... And I don't know the story well enough to actually even talk about it, so maybe I ought to just stop. But I think the idea here is that all of them have to be there before they can be there all the time.
Well, yeah, all four of them have to be there before the apocalypse can actually start, because they are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They're the ones that they show up and they wipe out the earth. So he's around. He's the first one.
And, oh, so he's already been delivered, so he's there.
and this week's dealt with Pestilence, which they kept him from making it over to
Well,
our side.
I'm not sure that they did, because the way they said that, they said that pestilence, blah, 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 blah. And then it said, and it required a sacrifice. Well, how did they end pestilence and make him leave? They sacrificed the one guy and threw him in there.
Yeah.
I think they actually completed the first step for pestilence to come. They don't even realize it yet. I think that's what they were hinting to, and they didn't come out and say it, because that would have mean they had figured it out on the show.
It could be. I don't know. Like, it's interesting to me. I'm gonna keep watching it. The production values on it are great, which I wouldn't expect anything less from a network show. They've got all the money in the world to throw at these things, so that it should look decent.
Yeah, it looked good, and not only does it look good, I mean, even the choreographing is great
I was
too.
gonna say, like Wonderland, apparently.
Yeah.
But I was kind of hoping, with all the trailers he kept saying, do you think I don't look appropriate in this time? I kept thinking they were gonna have a makeover in this episode where they were gonna get him some modern clothes, because that's the one thing that really bugs me about it is he keeps wearing the same exact outfit all the time. He's got one change of clothes. He's been around for several weeks at this point.
It's like watching a 1970s sitcom.
Yeah.
They wear the same shirt every day.
Yeah. You should have bought him an outfit or two at this point. At least get him some jeans or something so he's not wearing the same pants and shirt and coat every day.
Now, I have to say though, probably my favorite part is that his little history lesson every episode is just
Oh, yeah, it's.
you look forward to it when the show starts. It's like, okay, what is he going to What is he going to point out this time that we've forgotten or, lost our roots on or whatever the case may be?
Every time he goes into those, I kind of get the feelings of the first couple seasons of Falling Skies, where the
Yes.
professor would always break into these little history lessons as to, this is why we shouldn't do this with our troops and stuff like that. And I always kind of get that same feeling from it when they go into that.
Oh, you know what? It just dawned on me. That the connection, I had made this connection before, and it just had, I could never put the two, I never had really summed it all together. There's a series called Swarm that I read. It's like 8 books long now or whatever. But he starts off, he's a history teacher, and he does exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It just, oh man, I never even put two and two together, but it's that same kind of, he'll break out and explain to his underlings, okay, in history, this warrior did this and they fought back like that. So these aliens have no idea of our history. So let's do this and see if it works. And of course, that's good. Okay.
All out there. It's all in the history, man.
Yep. It's all in the history.
History.
So yeah, no, Sleepy Hollow, I think is actually a lot like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., only it started with a much higher bar. It's getting better or maintaining a fairly high rating in the first place
Yeah. And I.
while creating a deep character history and some undercurrent are starting to form. I mean, they brought her sister in and now she's out and you've kind of forgot about her.
Yeah, but the trailer for the next episode indicated that she was going to be back in that episode, so she'll be popping back up periodically, I'm assuming, throughout the series, and unless they kill her off at some point, but.
Yeah. And let's see, what else is going on? Anything else? Are you you're behind on Once Upon a Time, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm way behind on that and Grimm. I need to get caught up on both of them. But
Grimm, I need to get caught up on, and then they just launched this new True Blood just started, and
I'm so far behind on True Blood.
something else just started too. One of the other ones. I don't even remember anymore.
I don't
I've seen last week, so that means I've got 2 episodes of it coming this
know.
week, so that'll be good. But I've got to get in gear and watch all this stuff and get caught up here in the next couple of weeks, because with my move, I'm switching from DirecTV, so gonna lose my receiver with everything on it.
Oh yeah, you better get caught up real quick then.
Yeah. I started the new DVR in Florida recording all the episodes on it, but I want to get some overlap before I turn the thing off. But
yeah.
All right.
All right. I think that's it for this week.
And then the next couple of times, the next couple of episodes are going to be, we're going to do some Doctor Who.
Discussing the lost episodes that were recovered just recently.
We would have actually done some today. That's my fault. I hadn't seen them, and I don't want to be not involved in an entire series of it's one thing to listen and get feedback on just a single a TV show. It's another to completely miss an entire series of,
well,
what do they call a story arc? An entire story arc of 5 or 6 hours of it. So,
well, they were missing for 45 years, so I think we can put it off a week or so.
And then I'm sure we'll have some more good stuff after that. So,
yep. Stay tuned.
All right. Have a good one. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please visit our home on the web at scififx.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at scififx. And we are on Facebook at facebook.com/scififx. Like us on Facebook. It's an easy way to be kept up to date with all the latest sci-fi news, and you'll be entered to win a free prize. You can also stream our podcast using Stitcher Smart Radio on any mobile device with an internet connection running on iOS, Android, WebOS, or on BlackBerry smartphones. Follow the Fellowship of the Geeks on Twitter at Fellowship Geeks. Check out Geekdom Nation on the web at geekdomnation.com, and follow Geekdom Nation on Twitter at Geekdom Nation.